rightly. So Bible classes are something that we participate in and have for many years. That alone doesn't make it right. But the idea of Bible classes being sinful is something that we have to look at, because the same brethren who sometimes demand a single container for the Lord's Supper also say that it's a sinful thing to have Bible classes. So we want to look at that to be sure that this congregation understands what we do is right and we're not just overlooking something. But Bible classes per se specifically are not mentioned in the Bible. So what right do we have to divide ourselves into separate classes for periods of Bible study? And this is the question that comes up. And this question has divided brethren across the country. In fact, right on down the street from us on Green Oaks, there's a congregation that thinks it's sinful to have Bible classes, and they only use one container. The Bible tells us to be able to give an answer for the things that we believe in. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I believe that Bible classes are scriptural. But as we look for the scripturality of Bible classes, it's going to help us understand some things about authority that sometimes people don't understand. So we'll be looking at this tonight and hope that you'll be with us as we consider what the Bible teaches on that. First of all, when you look at the scriptures themselves, the church has teachers. Evangelists have been commanded to preach the gospel. Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. So that's the specific authority for that. And then we've also been commanded to teach. And that's something that the church is supposed to do. So let's go to the scriptures and look at this and recognize that indeed God intends for the church to teach. And in the process of that, we have to understand the limits of that, if there are those limits. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul said, these things command and teach. So we have to edify one another, and Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that edification is one of the things that helps us learn more about the Word of God. Then in chapter 6 and verse 2, as he's continuing his teaching to Timothy, he said, those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. And we have to understand that that's what God wants us to do. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, there's a really very good passage that says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and patient. So children of the Lord, servants, should be able to teach. That's one thing that we need to do. And in the same passage, it says that we are to teach faithful brethren who will teach others also. So that's the chain link of teaching that shows that we have to do exactly what God wants us to do. And, of course, men are to teach. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. God has placed the responsibility of teaching upon men, so that we're told that the women are not to be over the man in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that we're not to have women teaching over the man. But women are to be teachers. Titus 2, verse 3 says that women are to teach. So through the years, as brethren in the church, I've looked at these scriptures. They've made opportunities for our teachers to do exactly what we are supposed to do. And in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 11, the Lord has equipped the local church with teachers. They're pastors and teachers that God set into the church for the very reason that we should be able to edify ourselves. We don't need a college to edify us. We need brethren to edify us in the Lord. And that's what the Bible authorizes us to do. Does it not follow that the local church is to provide opportunities for these individuals to do the work of teaching? If it is scriptural and we have a scriptural church, then there are opportunities for those in the church to be teachers. And that's exactly what we're looking at tonight, to be sure to do that. The question is, are Bible classes authorized? And in my discussions with some of the brethren down on Green Oaks and talking about that, They don't understand the idea of generic authority. Here's the real catch. So as we study this, one of the things we'll learn is more about the authority. And they criticize us for having Bible classes. And I told the young man that we were talking with, if you would show me the authority for you to have a television program, which they do, then I show you the authority for our Bible classes. They ask for a specific authority for Bible classes and do not recognize a different kind of authority. So some hold extreme positions with regard to the authority of Scripture. Some contend that all things are allowed except that which is specifically forbidden. And that's the way people go into liberalism. If you can't say that a thing is forbidden, then we're going to go ahead and do it. And many churches have made mistakes along that line. The opposite extreme is that some contend that all things are forbidden except that which is specifically authorized. It must be mentioned. Now, I'll agree in the very beginning of it that Bible classes are not specifically mentioned in the Bible. That doesn't mean that I don't believe we have to have authority for them, because I certainly believe that we do, and we'll be looking at that. So we come to the subject of authority, and here's where many people mess up their minds, because they don't recognize that general authority is also authoritative as well as specific authority. When God commands something, we have no choice but to do what God commanded. When God forbids things, we have no choice but to not do what God has forbidden. At the same time, when God authorizes something to be done, whatever is necessary to accomplish that goal must be included under authority. For example, Hebrews 10:25 says that we're not to forsake the assembling. Well, if we're going to have a congregation who are assembling, there must be a place of assembly. Therefore, a place of assembly is certainly authorized, whether it's a cave, out under the trees, or in a rented building, or one that the brethren own. And that's the difference between generic and specific authority. In the Great Commission, both Matthew's account and Mark's account says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, there's some specifics there that we have to recognize. What are we to preach? It is the gospel. It is the gospel. The full measure of the truth of God, the whole counsel of God. What are we to do? We're to make disciples by the preaching of that. That's the purpose of it. But at the same time, how are we to go and make disciples? And there the Bible does not specify, but we look at the examples of the Apostle Paul. At times he was on a ship, at times he walked, at other occasions when he went places. So you look back at people like J.D. Tant, for example, who had so much impact in the past generation. He would ride a horse, he would walk, he'd do anything to get to a place to preach the gospel. Well, is it unscriptural then to go in some other way? No, because if I'm going to obey the gospel to go and preach, I have to find a way to do it. That's authorized, but it's not specified. So if you want to walk or ride a horse, a boat, a car, a bus, a plane, or a video. In fact, I know some brethren that are teaching brethren in foreign fields through Skype. You're able to look at them and teach as you consider one another. And so they're all different ways. And of course, I keep talking about our website because I wanted to mention this before I forgot about it. The webmaster printed off a resume of what happened this year on our website. So there have been unique visitors, that is, visitors who have not been there at least one time. We've had 4,907 who unique visitors. But people have come and looked at the pages of our website, 12,715, and they come and they look at the pages of our website, and we want to encourage people to do that, as we've been saying. So that's a way that we can do that without saying we don't have authority. We've got the generic authority to do that. And so in generic and specific authority, we are to teach. That's what God says for us to do. That's a work of the church. That's a work of an individual. We are to teach others. Specific, who is to teach? Well, men can teach and women can teach. What is to be taught? The Bible. Now, which version of the Bible are you going to use? And so we have other generic things that we consider when we're looking at this. What method of teaching? Well, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, Paul preached. And so it's authorized to preach the gospel and teach. And to debate. In Acts 15, the apostles and elders came together in Jerusalem to integrate the church, the Jewish and the Jews and the Gentiles together, and they had a debate. So it's honorable to do that as well. Acts chapter 5 talks about the brethren who were going from house to house, publicly and from house to house, teaching the gospel of Christ. In Acts 15, the elders who finally reached a conclusion through the Holy Spirit about Jews and Gentiles being together wrote a letter to the churches. And we have the letters of Paul and Peter and John and Mark and others in the Bible. So that authorizes for us to teach the Word of God. We have to choose what's expedient, what's very best. So we have a correspondence course. We have the newspaper, radio tracks, the TV, the CDs, the website. Now, none of those are mentioned in the Bible. And if somebody's looking for a specific authority, there's no way that it's going to authorize a television program. You just don't find that in that age. But what we have is the command to go and preach. So how you go is understood to be authorized, depending on which way that you would go. What medium you would use would also be authorized. So I'm not talking about Bible classes being unauthorized. I'm saying that they have the generic authority to be used, because God wants us to be a teaching group of people. Both men and women are doing that. So if we look at that, what would be wrong with Bible classes? And of course, some objections have been made. But again, we're supposed to teach. What age can we use to teach the Bible? Well, I'm using something that was present in the first century, but it's something that dispenses knowledge. And I understand that what people can see as well as hear stays with them somewhat longer, and they absorb more from that. We use the chalkboard on different occasions, overhead projectors, and PowerPoint, as we're doing here. We have maps and workbooks. These are all things that we use to disseminate the Word. So what's wrong with Bible classes? But some are saying they're sinful. You can't have a Bible class because they're sinful. And the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible class arrangement is not commanded. That is, it's not specific. But it's not forbidden either. It's an expedient means of fulfilling the general command to teach. And when we talk about expedience, we're talking about choosing the very best way for the opportunity. We come together, we have different levels of understanding. We have young people, sometimes babies, sometimes adults, sometimes college students and things of that nature. So we won't, the Bible that says, rightly divide the word of truth, if I understand what that's saying, not in addition to the idea of making a distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you rightly divide. But I understand that to say that you divide to the individual that which they can understand. And so our lady teachers would go into the young people's class and teach them on their level. Adults will be taught on another level. It might be that teenagers would have a whole set of problems that they would like to discuss in the Scriptures. And so this is an expedient way to divide to the individual what they would need for their lives and for their problems. Again, it's not specifically authorized, but neither are PowerPoints, and neither are television programs and things of that nature. And so the Lord gives us the liberty to be able to use the things of our age to be able to teach the Bible in the best way. And we've been doing that with Bible classes for a long, long time. Now, some of the objections to the Bible class arrangement, they say there's no authority. And I say, yes, it is. It's a generic authority. We are to teach the Bible. And then if you look at that as a specific command, which it is, then we have to choose the best way to teach the Bible. So that's generic authority. A lot of people dismiss that. But we have to understand, you go back, for example, to Noah. And he had a specific command to build the ark. And it was specifically authorized to use gopher wood. Now, I know that Noah had to have some tools in order to build the ark, but they're not specified. Were they authorized? Yes, whatever it takes to carry out a specific command of God is authorized under generic authority. If he gives you a command, you have to obey it. How do I obey that? According to what's best for the occasion. And when somebody says there's no authority for that, they're dismissing the idea of generic authority. Then they said the Bible classes are authorized under, they sometimes admit this under the heading of generic authority, but they refuse to accept that. And because they're not specifically mentioned, then they do not want to have them. But that's one way that God allows us to take the gospel out to the world in the way that we teach. So I've come up with the fact that in the times in which we're living, people are different in the sense that they don't want Bible classes. People are not interested. People are interested in games and things of that nature. We're competing today with how many football games? And I can tell you right now that a lot of people are home watching football games tonight because they have no interest in the spiritual things. So if I can't have Bible studies, I want some way to reach out to the world. And that's why we developed our website. And again, we've had 12,000 people to visit that website. Somewhere along the way, someone is going to find the material that is there and learn how to be a Christian. And that's what that's all about. Now, do I have specific authority for the website? No, I don't. If somebody came to me and said, well, you don't have authority for the website, I would say, yes, I do. Because the Lord said, you go and preach the gospel, but he didn't tell us how. When God, and listen to me carefully, when God gives a specific command, I have to carry that out. But God doesn't always tell me particularly how to carry out that commandment, just like Noah and the ark. Noah couldn't say, well, you didn't tell me what kind of tools to use, so I'm not going to build the ark. No, there was a command, Noah, build the ark. And it left it up to his liberty to what tools he would use in building the ark or who was going to help him in building the ark. Thus, that shows an illustration of the power of generic authority. God allows us to pick the expedient way to do a thing that has been commanded. If Noah had not built the ark, because he would say, well, God, you didn't tell me this and you didn't tell me that, he could not have carried out the specific command to build the ark. But once he told him what kind of wood he was to build the ark from, then he was allowed to pick the various tools in which he used those. And that's a definition of generic authority. Now we need to learn that because so many people, as we look back, nothing is wrong, some say, unless it's specifically forbidden. And that's why people have gone into liberalism, because they will do anything they want to do because it's not specifically forbidden. I've told you in the past about a church out in North Carolina when we talked on the radio about the Lord's Supper and talked about unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. This retired Methodist preacher called and said, we've been doing it wrong. We've been using Pepsi-Cola and cheese crackers on the Lord's table. Well, did they sin? Was something wrong with that? Because God specifically mentioned that it would be unleavened bread and fruit of the vine. And that's the way that it's done. We have to carry out the commandments of God or we're not doing them at all. So, someone said the Bible classes divide up the body of Christ. And they go to a passage that is not used in that direction. They misuse a passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 condemns the practice of dividing along denominational lines. You divide the church. Some say I'm of Paul. Some say I'm of Cephas. I'm Christ. And Paul condemned dividing the church over that kind of lack of wisdom. But you see, they're saying that to divide into classes like we do Sunday morning and Wednesday night is dividing the assembly. No, what was commanded and what was forbidden was people to wear different names and different doctrines were to speak the same thing and have the same attitude. That's what 1 Corinthians 1 is talking about. And so it's not unusual for somebody to take one passage and twist it out of shape, out of context, in order to bring about what they would like to do. They don't like Bible classes. Now, here's an odd thing. Today, among those churches that do not have Bible classes, it's a strange thing, but they're all putting in kitchens. It seems so strange. The Bible tells us if you're hungry, eat at home. But they put in a kitchen and have a fellowship hall. If any man is hungry, let him eat at home, the Bible tells us. And I've wondered, does a conscience bother someone when they're eating in the church building, supported by the church and that sort of function, when Paul said clearly what he did? It's strange to me that they will do something the Bible says not to do, and having fellowship halls and kitchens. At the same time, they'll not do what the Bible authorizes and having Bible classes. They'll say that Bible classes are sinful, but it's okay to have a church kitchen. And it's sort of strange to me that that's the direction that they're going. So again, what we're talking about is the proper understanding of authority. Now, I know many, many sermons have been preached about authority. But in looking at this particular issue, it really brings out the difference between specific authority and generic authority. And generic authority is binding in the expedient way that we carry out the specific commands of God. So children learn at a different level than adults. Elders can employ the Bible class as a means of effectively teaching all ages. And that's exactly what we do. We separate into ages, but it's all the same teaching. It's not a different doctrine. We're not dividing the church over doctrinal things. It is simply a means of edifying the church. And I'll maintain that this is correct. As I've said, I've had a written discussion about the containers, and it's on the website. And the webmaster is trying to arrange a discussion now on this particular subject, and so we may have that as well. And, of course, there are those who say you shouldn't have printed material, printed literature. I've known people that said you can't have, all you can have is the Bible. In fact, up in Greenville not too long ago, there was a preacher that said the only Bible you could have and be scriptural was the King James Version. And, of course, that's the one Paul had in his hip pocket when he was traveling around Europe and those places. But people grasp at straws and maintain things that divide brethren, and this would be one of them. Because the Bible is printed now, and is it wrong to use printed literature? I use it everywhere I go. And then we have people who've written things that, such as the tracts on the back wall. Good Bible study helps, and that helps to edify people and teach people the gospel of Christ. So there's nothing wrong with printed literature. And this, when you look at history of this movement, it goes back to when some were having the Sunday school arrangement. Now, what I mean by that is that it was wrong because it had a separate organization called the Superintendent of Sunday Schools. And they had a Sunday school arrangement that was denominational. And people objected to that. Well, yeah, we're not going to do that, but we're still going to organize our classes to teach people. So there's no central organization for the Lord's church. The local church is the only expression that God has given about how we're to worship and teach and preach the gospel. You really can't ever unite the church universal. You cannot give the church universal a work. You cannot unite the church universal in a local sense because it's all spiritual. And Hebrews 12 talks about the church of the firstborn ones, and that's the church universal. The local church is the only organization God has authorized to do for the church what the Lord commanded us to do. So printed material is an aid to teaching the Bible. It's not commanded or condemned. I won't have time to do this, but there's a passage that goes into this more deeply. Chapter 14 of the book of Romans. The book of Romans was about the church at Rome, and they had people who were Gentiles and Jews together in the church at Rome. And it had to do with the confusion that came up between the Jews and the Gentiles about days and meats and things of that nature. The Jewish Christians who had become children of God still had a hangover to the law of Moses. They felt it was sinful to work on Saturday. They were trying to hold on to the law of Moses and the law of the Sabbath day. On the other hand, the Gentiles didn't have any problem about working on the Saturday. They had always worked on that day. And the Jews that believed that you could not work on the Sabbath were saying to these other brethren, you're sinning. You're doing something wrong. You're working on the Sabbath day. Paul wrote to correct that. He introduced a word called liberty. There are some things that are commanded. There are some things that are forbidden. And then there are some things that God leaves it to our choice. Whether or not you're circumcised as a child depends upon the parents. It's not commanded anymore. Whether or not you work on the Sabbath day is not commanded. It is something that is at liberty. And if you had been a Jew in Rome and you felt that your conscience bothered you for working on the Sabbath day, Paul would say, don't do it. Don't offend your conscience. But don't bind on others what is their liberty. And so they could work on the Sabbath or not work on the Sabbath, and it was not something that was commanded, but it was a liberty. And that introduces the idea of generic authority. When we do something that is right and good within itself, we can use that as generic authority to do what it is that we're trying to do, and we never violate a specific command. And so again, you had those who believed it was sinful for women to teach, and ran into a problem with that when I was in Florida. One man thought it was a sinful thing for a woman to teach. And his background was he'd been a principal at school, and he had looked down on these women teachers. So he sort of had the idea he'd bring that into the church, and women were not to teach at all. And of course, we had to talk about that. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us that we're not to have women teach in authority over the man. And that's the specific forbidden. But then at the same time, a woman is not usurping authority over a man if she's teaching a class of women and children. So you get back again to the idea that here's a liberty. A church can decide what is the best way to educate, to edify the local members. We do that in classes, and we have the authority to do that. But again, that's something that's divided the churches in the past, and I'd like for Northside to be aware of these issues, be able to understand that what we're doing is not something that we've just always done, but that we're looking at the authority of doing these things that we're practicing. And so, Bible classes are authorized. The church is commanded to teach, and this is sort of a summation of that. Effective teaching involves using different methods. Different mediums like television and the radio and printed page. Since the Bible does not specifically specify the method that the church is to use, we are free or at liberty to use any method that does not violate the Scripture. And that's a basic principle that I would say is right. And that can be applied in a lot of different ways, but that's the word that's being taught. It is not a sin to separate the church into smaller groups for a period of Bible study. And it's not forbidden. There's nothing sinful about it because the church is to edify its members. It is not a sin to purchase and use printed literature. If you have the authority to preach the gospel, we are at liberty to use the best way to preach the gospel. And we've been doing that, using the best way because it's expedient. Not a sin for women to teach classes that do not contain men. And that's in keeping with the Bible. I know that this is not something you run into every day, but I recognize that these issues arise, and we have a history of discussing these things among churches of Christ. And sometimes churches are divided over those things. What I'd like for us here at Northside to do and understand is everything that we're doing, we've looked at it carefully. We've examined what the Bible teaches on this matter. And we believe, as the pioneer preachers in America did, we speak where the Bible speaks and we're silent where the Bible is silent. And so if a thing is commanded, we have no choice but to obey. If something is forbidden, we have no choice but not do that. But then there's the Romans 14, the idea of liberty, that God allows us to do things so long as I don't bind them on others and divide the church because of those things. Using meat, for example, in Romans 14, the meat that was usually purchased at the marketplace had been offered to an idol temple, and this was left over and they would sell it in the marketplace. Some of the Christians felt that that was going to offend their conscience if they ate meat that had been offered to an idol. But Paul said, we know that an idol is nothing. God has cleansed meats. So if you want to eat meat, then that's your liberty. You can eat meat. It's not going to be a sin if you do it. But if you choose not to eat meat, that's all right too. You have a liberty in this matter. And so Romans 14 introduces the subject of liberty about things that are authorized. And the Apostle Paul in chapter 14 of the book of Romans really laid down some principles that help us understand how we don't have to divide over every issue. Some of them are matters of liberty that we can allow others to practice differently from us as long as we're not going to bind it on others. And so the Roman brother could eat meat as long as he recognized that an idol was nothing. On the other hand, if a conscience said, I can't eat that, then don't violate your conscience. Don't eat. And either one of them, in the first part of chapter 14, talks about how God has received them both. And so the one who wants to eat meat, the ones who doesn't, that's okay. That's a liberty that you have. And the one who wants to work on Saturday and the other who doesn't want to work on Saturday or the Sabbath, that's all right, just so long as you don't divide the church over it. He said, have your conscience to yourself. And that shows that I can differ sometimes with people on matters of judgment and not divide the church over it. But now Bible classes have been something that have been divided among brethren, and I'm simply bringing that out tonight so that we'll always know. We don't just rush into something because that's what every other church of Christ is doing. But we're doing a careful study of these things and we want to always do what's right. So my conscience is clear when I teach a class. A lady's conscience can be clear when she teaches a class with children because we're following the specific command to teach. And God allows us the liberty to decide which method we're going to use. So tonight I've been using a PowerPoint, but at the same time,